So the title is The ABCs of Successful Living. I'm going to go down to after I read the scripture, and then I'm going to pray. So in the introduction, once again, the ABCs of successful living. Would you all agree with me that we all want to be successful in life?
Amen.
Right? We all have a definition of success, what we consider success is, what we view as successful, who we think is successful. You know, we get this vantage point, and the vantage point we really get is from what the world tells us. And really, I know I got caught up in it, and I thought, you know, this was success, that success, and that success. I studied an author. His name was Tom Hopkins. Maybe some of you know. He's an awesome sales instructor. And he wrote a book. But in that book, what he defines success is success is a continuous journey toward achievement of predetermined, now listen to this, worthwhile goals. Now, in the secular sense, that's right on point. That's right on point. The achievement of following or seeking worthwhile goals, not willy-nilly, because we're not designed to really do willy-nilly. We're designed to be planned, organized, and efficient. That's what our real design is. It's not to kind of wing it, you know, throw it at the wall, hope it sticks. We are designed to be planned, organized, and efficient. That's right on point for having a successful life. And that could be setting goals to read your word, pray a certain amount of time a day. It could be a numerous amount of things. I could absolutely tell you what success isn't. Success is not found in riches. It's not found in money. Paper in and of itself, that money is worthless. It has no intrinsic value in and of itself. It's what it can get for you that brings about the value. So success is not found in riches. King Solomon spoke of that. It's not found in riches. Success is not found in fame. We have a whole generation of people today seeking riches and fame and, you know, 15 minutes of success. Some folks get it and they become very successful from just that 15 minutes. People are seeking that today, but that's not success. Success is not found in power. It's not, because none of us really have any power anyway.
Amen.
In and of ourselves. We have no power.
Amen.
Bible does say we can have resurrection power.
Amen.
It does say that.
Amen.
But in and of ourselves, we have no power. No
Amen.
Real, no real authority over anything except ourselves. Success is only found in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
It's only found in Christ Jesus. And that's this brief sermon is going to talk about the ABCs of success is only found in Christ Jesus.
Praise God.
That no one else.
Praise
whatever's
Lord.
Going on in your life, whatever's going on in my life, it can be solved with the word of God, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
No matter what it is, it can be the worst thing you think that occurred, the Lord can solve it.
Yes,
fix it,
Amen.
Shore it up, bring you back to a firm footing,
Amen.
Take the sting out of that thing. God is able.
Thank you, Lord.
God is able. And going right to it, Ephesians 3:20. Because this is where the text is going to come from. Ephesians 3:20. I'm going to read it in two other versions. I'm going to read it in this one. You guys got it? When you have it, say amen, because I'm going to read it in the, because it's only one scripture.
Amen.
So I'm going to read it in two different scriptures. I'm going to read it in the message also, and then the Amplified. So it says in 3:20, it says, to him who is able,
yes, sir.
To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. Forever and ever. Amen.
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 Let's go look at it in the Amplified. Now to him who, by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do superabundantly far over and above all that we dare ask, or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Amen. Here it is in the Message. It's real simple English. I love the Message because it just gets right down to it. God can do anything. There it is in plain English. God can do anything, and all that he's done now is incredible. And he can do beyond that.
Amen.
So, he threw the stars out in the universe, and he can do far above that.
Yes.
You know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams, God can do more than that. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for the truth of the gospel that you've given us. That speaks of you wanting to redeem us in the Old Testament. The account and the record that you recorded there. And then sending Jesus to do exactly what you said you were going to do.
Yes.
And Jesus, you agreeing to do it. And Holy Spirit, you agreeing to come back and lead us and guide us. Thank you. Thank you this morning, Lord God, for making a way for us. And we're going to really understand this way you made for us when we die. We don't really get it totally right now, but we're going to get it one day. And we thank you right now for that, Lord God. So, Lord, I just ask that you remove me. Hide me, Lord God. Get me out the way. And, Lord, reveal your word to each and every one of us in our spirits. We need to hear from you, Lord God. And we need understanding, not that we would have to understand to do because you command us to do without understanding, but that we will understand what you've given us to know and wisdom to wrap it all up, that we will be doers of your word and not hearers only, deceiving ourselves, that we will put your word into action, that if we say we believe, we will act like it. So Lord God, help us this morning. Teach us. We need to hear from you. You are truly worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So here's the first day. Success is found in attitude. Success is found in attitude. Things happen to us in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Things happen. Some we have control of, some we don't have control of. But things happen. Our attitude determines how we will respond. Turn to Proverbs 23:7. You all know it. You've read it 1,000 times. Glossed over it. Checked it out. Supped on it. Proverbs 23:7. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
We there? Amen. Amen. Here it is. It says, I'm reading out the Amplified. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. There's been many books written just on that right there. As he thinks in his heart, so is he. You will only think and act on what you believe. Nothing else. Attitude, mindset. Here's an illustration. An American businessman visiting Hong Kong was walking through a downtown street looking at all the little different shops. When he came across a tattoo shop, he began looking at the different tattoos. I've even done that. You go look at the different tattoos and you're like, wow. I remember I went to get this big Superman S on my shoulder. Oh my gosh. I never did it because I thought, you know, God wouldn't be pleased with that. But I really wanted it. I just didn't do it because, you know, there was a time I had this Superman thing going on. That all fell apart. So he began looking at all the different tattoos and noticed that one read, "Born to Lose." Mm-hmm. He asked the store owner, "Does anyone really ever buy that tattoo?" The store owner replied, "Yes, sometimes. But before tattoo on skin," remember, he's in Japan, "but before tattoo on skin, tattoo on mind. Born to lose. Too many people have a loser attitude that shows up in how they live in their lives. Think loss instead of victory." That's all it is. If we're overcomers and God called us to be overcomers, we shouldn't be thinking loss at all. I just believe what the God says in his word, that if we're supposed to be overcomers like Jesus, then we can act like it. Because if we really believe that, we would act like it. Amen? In a survey after survey, employers report that when choosing between two equally qualified candidates, the most important factor is attitude. Nobody wants to hire a bad attitude person. Person that's going to bring down the office. Am I right? And we all know folks like that. And they're difficult to work with. And they're the ones causing the most problems. In fact, employers said that they would hire someone which was a little less qualified if they had a great attitude. Because that lifts everyone up. Amen? Philippians 2:5. We all know that one, right? "Have this mind in you that was in Christ Jesus." We don't have to turn to it. We know it. And what kind of mindset did Jesus have? A mindset of overcoming. A mindset being determined to fulfill the purpose that God called him to. And that he agreed to fulfill. There was nothing that swayed him off that path. And the beautiful thing about Jesus is he could have walked off it at any time. And he still would have been God Almighty. It wouldn't have changed who he was. Jesus had to deal with the contradictions of men.
Amen.
I say this a lot. Mankind is hard to deal with. Womankind, mankind, same thing. Very difficult to deal with. Word of God coming down out of heaven and then you question it? That's amazing. But we do it. Success is found in belief. It's found in belief. We must believe that Jesus is Lord. Amen. We must believe that God will do what he says he will do.
Yes.
Turn to Hebrews 11:6. If he said he's going to do it, doesn't that mean he's going to do it?
Amen.
Now, if I say I'm going to do something, it doesn't mean the same thing. I'm going to tell you right now. I would hope I would do it. I would even go as far as saying, I would want to do it, but I may not do it. But you know what God says in his word? If God says he'll do it, then he'll do it without question. But the problem comes down to us because we don't believe. A success principle is believing in what God says. And that what he says he'll do, he'll do. Amen?
Amen.
But without faith. We know this one by heart, right?
Yes.
But without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible. It is impossible to please and be satisfactory to him. For whoever will come near to God. See, will come near to him. Because if you look at James, what does it say? If you draw nigh to me, he'll draw nigh to you. Does it say that God says if I draw nigh to you, you'll draw nigh? No, because we won't. It says if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you.
Amen.
Which means if you won't draw nigh to God, you got a pride issue in your life. That is pride.
Amen.
No matter how you slice that piece of pie, it's pride.
Amen.
For whoever will come near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder. He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him out.
Amen.
Reads Proverbs 2:1-6, I think it is. That's how you have to go after God. I said this maybe many times. If someone said, hey, look, there's a mountain of gold right over there. I'm going to give you 5 hours to go in there and dig out all the gold you possibly can dig. What would you do? You would diligently go in there and dig that gold out. You would, hey, look, someone tried to disturb you, like, easy. Easy. I'm digging gold. Don't talk to me. Don't bother me. Don't get in my way. Am I telling the truth?
Amen.
That's how God expects us to go after him.
Amen.
Because his word is gold.
Amen.
It brings about revealed knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Without revealed knowledge of the word, what do you have? You have information that you can't act on. Knowledge is not power. That's secular stuff they told us. The understanding of what you know, that's power, because now you know how to apply it. And if you can't apply what you know, you have nothing. You've got a brain full of information that's useless. Amen? So we got that verse, right? I told you this isn't going to be long. Illustration. And we all heard this story. I'm sure my wife, she's familiar with this because she's a historian. In 1519, a man sat in Spain listening to stories of great Aztec treasure in South America that could be taken by anyone. So there's this treasure. You know, I mean, South America, lined with gold. We all know that from history. Cortez thought he could take it. So he set sail with an army of boats. They anchored in South America and unloaded the boats. As they unloaded them, Cortez walked up and down the beach shore telling them, we will take this treasure. Didn't even belong to them, but they're going to take it anyway. The night before the attack, Cortez instructed his men, burn the boats. Why? You have no choice now. It's either die or do what we said we're going to do. See, God allows us to have outs. You know how he allows us to have outs? We have free will. And I want free will. I want my free will. I want to choose God. I don't want him to make me choose him. So our out is free will. And that's a blessing from God, believe it or not. Because if you choose him, the unabound grace that comes with it is incredible. It's amazing. So finishing this up, he said he instructed him to burn the boats. His men stared at him in disbelief. We will sail home in their boats. So he said, burn the boats. We'll just sail home in their boats. So now we don't have a choice. So they stood on the shore and watched their boats burn. Then the next day they marched into the jungle, believing their mission. They took the treasure and went home in the Aztec boats. That's recorded in history. That's what happened. And Cortez and those guys took that treasure. Belief and faith in God causes men to do great things. Belief and faith. Look at Luke 17:6. Luke 17:6. There's been many men in the Word of God who have done great things because they just believed. When you got it, say amen. Amen. 17:6, and the Lord answered, if you had the faith, trust, and confidence in God, even so small like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be plucked up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you. It doesn't take great faith. God wants childlike faith.
Amen.
Because when you're a child, right? You think your dad can do anything. At least I did. I thought my dad could conquer the world. My dad was the man. You can't beat my dad. My dad will beat your dad. You know how guys do, right? That's what guys do. My dad will beat your dad. That's childlike faith. You don't question when you're a child. You start questioning when you get into adolescence. But you don't question when you're a child. You just look at your parents like they're the greatest thing that ever hit the planet Earth. He wants childlike faith. grain of a mustard seed. It doesn't take much. We've complicated it because that's what we do, but it doesn't take much. David takes on Goliath. David was in it. We all know the story. He was in the wilderness with the sheep, right? Then God sent him a couple tests. Did he not? He was with God, hanging out with God, loving God. God's the man. He's the man. God, you're the man. Pluck. Here's the sheep. Plucked out by a lion. David went, killed a lion, took the sheep back. Another test came. Pluck. Here's a bear. Takes a little, I guess he's a little you, right? Is that a little sheep, a little you? David goes, fights him. Kills a bear, brings a bear back. But in all that, God built up David's belief.
Right.
Sitting with him, learning of him. Then he tested him.
Yes, sir.
So when David faced Goliath, that was nothing. He's just a human being. Have anyone ever really seen a lion really go like face to face? I have. Like behind a cage, don't get me wrong. It's a marvel to see a lion in person tear through something. You know you're not surviving that. Unless the power of God comes on you and super, you know, gives you super strength, which David had.
Amen.
So Goliath was nothing to David.
Amen.
How about Daniel goes in the lion's den? Don't think Daniel ran down in the lion's den and was happy-go-lucky. Because he wasn't. We read the account. Daniel went to the lion's den. Oh, yeah. God shut them. The angel shut the mouths of the lion. You don't think he wasn't concerned? They fed the lion's people. Before they hit the ground, they were torn to shreds. That's what the lions ate, people. So they walk them up. The lions are jumping and clawing. As they're jumping, because they know it's time to eat. And they would keep those lions hungry. Man, those people were torn to shreds before they hit the ground. You think Daniel wasn't concerned? He was concerned. But he believed God. And we're not going to even talk about the Hebrew boys, which is amazing. Joshua marches around Jericho with the armies, with the army of the Lord. Imagine that. Go march around 6 days. Every day, march. You think people weren't in that army questioning? Yeah, well, look, we read these accounts and we're like, everyone's marching like, oh, this is cool. Mm-mm. You know human beings complaining all the way, whining all the way around the wall. Why are we doing this again? Now this is day three. Ain't nothing happening. Come on, David. Come on, man. Come on. We got to do this again. All right. Day 7 rolls around. Now you got to march around it 7 times. They did it, and they obeyed. And the walls came tumbling down.
Amen.
And the best account ever of overcoming is Jesus on the cross.
Amen.
Jesus believed. You know, don't think he didn't believe in his mission. Because if he didn't believe in his mission, he would have never came. And he showed his belief through action.
Amen.
We don't see. Well, Jesus said he died on a cross, hanging on the cross. He hung on the cross. He did it. He walked his belief out. That's what belief is. It's not just saying a sinner's prayer and I'm saved. It's showing evidence that you have been born again. And if you've truly been born again, somewhere along the line, there's going to be a change. Somewhere, it has to be. You can't take on the power of God in your nature. Be changed, reborn, regenerated, and not have some power. It's impossible. Last one. Success comes from C, commitment. John 3:16. Agape.
Amen.
That's another word for commitment. God was so committed to the world. See, if he wasn't committed, nothing would have went down. He was so committed to the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. God was so committed. That's agape. Commitment. It's not eros. It's not phileo. And it's not the other one. Yeah, storgos. Family love. It's a God. There's only four loves. You can wrap it all up in four. So figure out what it is you are in. And if it's not agape, you won't have commitment. Because commitment is what holds you to the course. It's what holds Jesus to the course. We must be committed to Christ.
Amen.
We must be committed to Christ. Jesus challenged us to take up our cross. Let's go to it. Luke, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, 9:23. This scripture alone can solve all your problems. Just this one scripture. When you get it, say amen.
Amen.
Here it comes out the Amplified. And he said to all, if any person wills to come after me, let him deny himself. Disown himself. Forget, lose sight of himself and his own interest. Refuse and give up himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Cleave steadfastly to me, conform wholly to my example in living, and if need be, in dying also for the word of God. There's been many martyrs.
Amen.
Who died for the cause of Christ.
Yes.
In the last 3.5 years of the great in the tribulation, which the last 3.5 years is a great tribulation, in order for folks to be a part of the kingdom. First, they can't take the mark in the back of their hand or their forehead, but guess how they have to go? They got to prove their faith. They got to prove that they believe that what was been preached for those three, for up to that point, they believe it. And the only way to show you belief, get that neck out there. Get that neck out there. See, right now, God is gracious. He says, hey, just believe on the finished works of Jesus Christ. That's it. And you'll have eternal life. But then, buddy, you don't take that mark. You got to give up the crown. You have to let him chop the cranium off. He's a good God. And throughout the whole time, he's still, through the vials and the bowls, he's still asking man. He's still extending his hand. And man's cursing him. God is awesome. Don't be fooled. God is awesome. But we have to deny ourselves. See, all problems are solved in denying ourselves. They're all solved. Anything you find yourself in, you got to deny yourself. Give it to Jesus. Commit your way to him. He got it. Amen. People quit everything. Y'all hear what I'm saying? We quit everything. It could be the greatest thing ever. We'll quit it. It could be the least thing ever. We'll quit it. We quit everything. Athletes change teams. Marriages end. Companies short everything. Stock, hours, people, paper products. You name it. Families betray one another. Commitment is in short supply today in finishing this up. But praise be to God that Jesus remains totally committed to you and I.
Amen.
Yes.
One last scripture, Hebrews 13:5. Hebrews 13:5. And all these scriptures I know are you all are familiar with. But it's just good to hear him again.
Amen.
13:5 says, let your character and moral disposition be free from love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. Because they only lead to a hole in the ground. Craving things instead of craving the love of God. And be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, and here it is, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. That's a good God. If he said that, you can count on it. He challenges us to do the same for him. So those are the ABCs of success. But let's put them in the right order. The first one should be B, belief. Belief puts you in right standing with God, right? The second one is commitment. That's the sanctification process. So we got B, C. You got those two right. God will change your attitude.
Yes.
Amen. Let's pray.
Amen.